You know, it was back in July of 1990 that President George Bush signed the Americans with Disabilities Act into law. 30 years later, we reflect on the progress made in the areas of access and inclusion for the disabled. We reached out to Honolulu attorney Lunsford Phillips. Over the years, he's taken business and government to court for failing to comply. He took AIM in order to raise awareness about the law, which calls for providing reasonable accommodation for those living with a disability.
ADA is such a important law. I mean, it's everything to people with disabilities that the 1964 Civil Rights Act is for people of color. So it's a big deal.
So how well is this law working? Are people complying?
Well, it's not achieved its intended goals because it has not been enforced nearly as much as it should have or needs to if it really is going to be a life changer for people with disabilities. The ADA is not enforced because people don't understand that Congress intended that the ADA be self-enforcing. By giving people with disabilities the right to bring a lawsuit if necessary, and if they do so and are successful, which most cases are black and white, either it's accessible or it's not accessible, and if a person prevails in court, the offending entity, the business, has to pay their legal fees. So enforcement doesn't cost the person who's been denied their civil rights anything at all. The civil rights violator pays all the costs, including the victim's legal fees. So people don't understand that, and they say it's going to be too expensive, it's going to be too much trouble. Well, the intention of Congress was that people not rely on the government to enforce that civil rights, but that the individuals affected enforce it, and they made that quite practical and possible.
Now, I've done many stories with you over the decades. You know, I know you've taken on certain types of businesses as an example to show what needs to be done. And just on the top of my head, you know, I think you sued a bank. I think you sued a department store. But the fixes don't have to be expensive fixes. If I recall, there was a water fountain that was too high. And I think, you know, part of the fix there was, you know, have paper cups available so that someone can use the water fountain.
In fact, that's true. And that's another fact that is mostly unknown. And people have the wrong impression. The ADA only requires a business to do what is reasonable. That's right in the statute. And the rules and regulations spell out what reasonableness is without undue expense or effort. So right in the law, it says this is not going to cost a business a arm and a leg. That would not be reasonable, and so that's not what the law requires. And because Congress put that in terms of reasonableness, it's a elastic concept. A big business with a lot of resources has more things that are reasonable for it to do than a small mom-and-pop store. So a court will look at what the resources are of the offending business and decide what the person with a disability is asking for to be provided in terms of accessibility, whether or not that request is reasonable.
I recall you taking the city to task about the terrible sidewalks, you know, and the access. I think I recall there was a situation at the Aloha Stadium, you know, for concert goers.
My concept was, the plan was to take on some of the big businesses like banks and department stores and the municipal government in the thought that, one, that would get a lot of publicity, and two, once people small businesses saw that big businesses who could afford expensive legal defense were unable to avoid being held responsible, that the small businesses would say, wow, you know, if Bank of Hawaii can't successfully defend against this ADA claim, what chance do I have? I better just should comply. Unfortunately, that did not have the effect that I had hoped.
Most people may not know that you ended up in a wheelchair because I think a skiing accident changed your life.
40 years now.
And so, I don't know, what was the pandemic shutdown, you know, what was that like for you?
I know for able-bodied person, this lockdown and all the restrictions that COVID have caused have resulted in unusual restrictions in their activities. But frankly, for people with disabilities, we have major restrictions all the time. So, you know, I'm staying home. Well, I don't have much transportation means, so, you know, I spend a lot of time at home. Ordinarily, I can't communicate with some people because of disability, and now people without disabilities are finding that they can't communicate with people as they used to. So it's kind of a imperfect, but a bit of a inkling for people without disabilities, what it's like to have a lot of restrictions on their wished activities that people with disabilities have long had and have adjusted to. And I'm not complaining. I'm not asking for sympathy. I just hope that able-bodied people take this season of Thanksgiving and be thankful that the restrictions that they are experiencing will pass, and the restrictions that I have won't.
What are you most thankful for this Thanksgiving holiday?
All the help that I get from people, principally my wife, who has been my principal caregiver for 45 years now. And it's hard to be disabled, but without having somebody to help you, it's really bad. So I am thankful for my wife and all the people who help me.
You have been listening to Lunsford Phillips, a longtime Honolulu attorney. He was talking with us about the 30th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Phillips tells us before he retires, he would like to help the deaf community because he feels they're more separated and isolated than others with disabilities and may not realize that their civil rights are being violated.